MDRadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up in one tasty treat? I know that you are, and I know you know. That means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike. This is Code Delicious, and we are brought to you by the good folks at Real Salt. Hey, Food Nation, if you're in the kitchen, if you enjoy working with real food, authentic food, great taste, great textures, incredible flavors like I do, then you want to make sure you're using seasonings. And when it comes to salt, you want to use something like Real Salt. Incredible product with the nutrients and the minerals from an ancient seabed. That means that it's not exposed to any of the pollutants and challenges that face our modern shores when you're looking for a sea salt. So if you're looking for something really great, I want you to go really old and check out realsalt.com. And hey, put Dr. Mike in there, get an extra 15% off just for listening. Today, we are talking about something that you know I am passionate about. We talk about it all the time on this program. So important. We're talking about chronic continuous inflammatory conditions. We're going to be talking about food as well. My guest is Elizabeth Faulkner. She's an award-winning chef, restaurateur. She's a media personality. She's an author. But she's also got some personal stories that relate to this that we're going to ask her to share with us today, and we're going to learn a whole lot more. Elizabeth, thank you for being on the program.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about your story and how you came to understand, you know, a chronic continuous inflammation, something that you know well as atopic dermatitis, and we'll talk about that. I know that's two big words there, folks. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But tell us how this, you became aware of it and how it did and how it has affected you.
Sure. I'm really happy to have joined the Understand AD campaign and just to help raise awareness about this very serious disease. And I actually was diagnosed with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis about 20 years ago. I was getting these really bad, unbelievably itchy rashes on my lower legs, and then it moved to my hands. And while I was cooking and running restaurants in San Francisco, and I used to play soccer, so I thought it was just some kind of shin guard thing. But then when I got on my hands, I went to the doctor and said, "Oh yeah, you have this." And it's, there's really no cure for it, but I tried some different, like steroid ointments and stuff. And that never really took it away. And it's just something that I don't know exactly what the triggers are. It's different for different people. And as you can imagine, cooking in restaurants is a pretty hostile environment for your body in general,
to say the least.
Right. And it's like you're always washing your hands, you're near fire constantly, and it just is an unbelievably painful disease that affects different people's skin, different parts of their body. But for me, it's always been on my lower legs, and sometimes it appears on my hands. And I'm not cooking in restaurants currently. For the last couple of years, I've been doing more media and writing and other kinds of projects and trying to take care of my body really well. But I am training. I'm actually running the marathon in about almost 2 weeks here, a week and a half. And that kind of helps me just all the training and athletic stuff helps me a lot. Keeping my stress level down so I don't get inflammations as much. But I still do get flare-ups, and I never know when they're going to happen. It's a scary disease. It's strange.
Yeah, this is just really important because you're bringing out some, I think some very important things that, one is that this is not, and this is what folks need to understand, it's not a rash. It's not like getting poison ivy where you're exposed to something and, you get an itchy rash and, being in the medical field, I can make fun of my dermatological friends. Their answer for everything is put a steroid cream on that, right? So you get some steroid cream, you rub it, and it goes away. And it's not something that you can just avoid. What's very interesting, about atopic dermatitis is that it is associated, people who have it are at risk for other diseases that are related to systemic, meaning we're affecting the whole body, inflammation, mm-hmm. things like asthma, for example. So this is not some sort of isolated, oh, you know, I just get a little rash on, you know, on my hands or that when, you know, I'm cooking and I'm exposed to harsh chemicals and soaps. We're talking about something that affects the entire body with a chronic continuous low-level inflammation. And you mentioned, you know, you do exercise and that really helps you. And sure enough, what do we know about exercise? Well, it's one of those things that helps the body regulate, helps deal with this chronic, continuous, low-level inflammation. And one of the other things I wanted to pick your brain about, you know, one of the things I've written about and I get out and talk about is the relationship between, you know, what we eat and a chronic inflammation and how that affects our body. So have you noticed anything or in your job as a spokesperson out front for awareness and so forth, have you noted any sort of dietary do's or don'ts?
Well, the thing is, I really believe it's different for everybody, so it's hard to sort of pinpoint a diet or an issue that comes up. I can't tell you that one thing specifically because that's not been the case for me. But I can tell you that, like, you know, I do, I mean, especially with all this marathon training and just in general, I mean, I think a lot of chefs don't have great eating habits. It sounds funny because we're always around food and stuff,
but we can't be picking off the plates before they go out on the path.
Yeah, and it's different. It's your job. You're making food and, yeah. You know, all that. It's commerce and everything. So, I've been sort of a health conscious person my whole life. I've always played a lot of sports. Like I said, I used to play soccer for many years, and then I do a lot of yoga and Pilates, and then all this marathon training is a lot of running. But I do, and because of that, I actually I eat pretty clean for the most part. It doesn't mean I don't have a slice of pizza or an ice cream sandwich or something once in a while, but I really kind of look at, I think it's easier on us if we look at what our diet is within a week. That's kind of how I like to look at it, because, like, it doesn't mean I'm not going to have, you know, something kind of decadent one day, but it means I won't have all something decadent every day, because that just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good. And I think that, you know, if you're stressed out, stress is definitely a factor in the flare-ups of this disease. And so if I can kind of keep my stress at bay, that seems to be very helpful. And it's funny because my doctor, you know, 20 years ago said, maybe you should stop working in the restaurant business. You wouldn't be so stressed out, and it might help you with this disease. And I was like, well, that's crazy, because I was like, you know, I was just 30. And but here it is 20 years later, and, you know, I'm not working full-time in restaurants, so it's kind of like, oh, well, maybe that's a good – it's kind of been something that's been good for me, you know?
So well, I think you hit on
– definitely.
Yeah, I think you hit on a couple key points, and you say, you know, it's unique for everybody. And when we look at our immune systems, you know, everybody is totally unique. And one of the things I think that's coming into play as a big modulator, if not completely in charge of our immune system, is our gut and the gut microbiome, which is all this bacteria that actually comprises 90% of the cells that make us up, is this gut microbiome that, you know, anywhere our body's on our skin, the lining of our gut, the lining of our lungs, for example, that, you know, is exposed to the environment. We have this interface that the bacteria run before us, like blockers, you know, on a football field. And, you know, if we don't have good blockers in front of us, well, the defense gets through and we get sacked in the backfield. And that's what can really happen, you know, when we eat particularly a lot of processed food. So, you know, you said mm-hmm. something that I really wanted to forgive the pun, but we always do that on the show, sick my teeth into, which is people are always looking for a miracle food, right? You know, eat this berry and, you know, you'll live forever sort of stuff. But it's really about, there's not one food, but it's about the approach to foods. And you said, you know, what I practice and what I preach, which is real food, whole food, authentic food. And like I said, doesn't mean you're not going to mm-hmm. have a chili cheese dog when you're at the game, but you're not eating six of them a day as your meal. So when you say you eat,
I probably won't, you know, how do you approach? By the way.
What's that?
I said, I probably wouldn't have a chili cheese dog anyway.
But, you know, if somebody wanted to have one in there, and, you know, you have one a year or something, that'd be fine. Like
yeah,
me,
yeah.
I know the things that go into industrial tubular meat products, and I would not want to eat one either. But, you know, if somebody wanted to have one and, you know, it's once a year, no problem. But how do you approach food? We've talked about exercise, which everybody in this country needs to do more of, and that really helps with our immune systems, as you've noticed. How do you approach food when you say, hey, I eat pretty clean? As a culinary person, what are you looking for?
Well, exactly like what you said. I love what you said about the defense and the blockers. I think that if we could think a little bit more consciously, like I definitely eat a lot of nuts and fruit and vegetables in season. I mean, I love going to the green market and getting things, and I mean that honestly. Like, I just, like, they're so tasty in season, and even in, you know, I'm from the West Coast, but I live in New York, and I know our seasons are shorter, but, you know, I think when you're eating food stuff that is grown relatively around you or that's, you know, in your season, that there's things that are happening in your biology that's, I mean, you're taking in some of the nutrients from the environment around you. So I think it probably does help. You know, I'm obviously not a medical person, but I have a belief system that if I eat what's around me, that it's going to help me. I know that's true with like honey. If you get honey from around your, you know, in your Brooklyn area, whatever,
right.
That they're picking the, I don't know exactly what to call all that, but I know it actually can help your immune system by just having some of the botanical stuff from that the bees are producing in, you know, just in that honey. So I think
I'm going to jump in because from a medical perspective, you are exactly right. As you mentioned, with the honey, but also with the fruits and veg. And one of the things is, you know, and you appreciate this as a culinary person, we know that wine has a terroir, you know, a certain thing that makes the Chardonnay in France, you know, be, you know, brisk and green apple, and the ones from California taste, you know, completely different, even though it's the same bloody grapes. And it's the same thing with food. And when you're getting it locally, you tend to be getting it fresher. A lot of times you can find it at those as markets. You know, when you're getting strawberries in December that are grown in South America, guess what? They're picked when they're not ripe. And they're often grown in the industrial is often grown, you know, in terms of, hey, we can ship it. It has a shelf life of this. It has a great water weight. So we're making a lot of money when we sell it per pound. But it's not about flavor and it's not about nutrition. So I want to back you up on there. And you can quote me. You've got it. You've got it. I mean, you are spot on. And that is incredibly important.
Well, yeah, I was at a chef's congress here in New York the other day. And somebody said the coolest thing. We were talking about wine and food pairing stuff. But somebody said, we are also part of the terroir. And I think it's so interesting because somehow we've sort of separated ourselves as humans that can eat all these different things around the planet, which is really cool. But, like, if you think about it, we are, you know, if you're growing up or you're in an environment that has harsher seasons and has, you know, root vegetables at this time of year and tomatoes at another time of year, then I think that you're, those foods are there and can help us through those different periods of time. And we also do, we should can and pickle things more. You know, I come from a grandparents that lived in Missouri and had a farm and did all that. And that's how we grew up eating, you know?
Well, and not only that,
just eat tomatoes all year round.
Well, right, but when you pickle, when you preserve, that food is still alive because we're making, and wine is one of them, and it's a thought that this is one reason why wine has health benefits is that it's a fermented product, it's a living product, and what we're finding is that these fermented foods tend to contain, as you just pointed out, the bacteria or essentially the terroir of a certain food that are very good for us, that we've got to remember too, this these blockers and, you know, in down in our gut that are protecting of us. You know, we've been on the same team for hundreds of thousands of years. They have co-evolved with us to co-metabolize certain foods over millennia. And now you want to add something that's got, you know, a polysorbate 80 and carboxymethylcellulose to preserve it. And what you're doing is you are just, you know, putting an IED, an intestinal explosive device. I just made that up on the spot, you know, down there, and it's a little gut bomb. So you're really right on, and we are part of this earth. We have our own unique terroir. Part of it's genetics, but part of it is that environment. So that approach you are talking about that you follow, there's a lot of science behind that. So you go on and you say it loud and you say it proud, because the science is there. It's backing you up, and there's more coming every day.
Well, I was going to say that we are starting to understand more about atopic dermatitis and the science, and which is really finally catching up to the disease. And, you know, we do have on the understandad.com website, I've got my story, some other people who have this disease have shared their stories on there too, and then just more about the facts and the science behind all the latest research. So check that out.
Oh, definitely. And can you give that web address one more time for the listeners so they know where to go?
Sure. It's understandad.com.
And what sorts of things, other than, you know, the exercise, we talked a little bit about the food. Are there other things that folks can do or that you do personally that can help? Because, you know, this is what we do know of it is it's a chronic continuous inflammatory disease. Well, you know what? So is diabetes. So is heart disease. And so things that are helpful here, you know, may translate over for folks. And, you know, helpful practices are just never a bad idea.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I because of this campaign, I got to spend some time with Dr. Doris Day, who's a dermatologist in New York City. And I started hearing more about different patient stories, and then I hadn't really spent time with a dermatologist, you know, since I was diagnosed with it. Well, that was some time ago, and obviously things have changed. They have, you know, there are newer treatments, and I think the best thing is for people to see their dermatologist or doctor and see what's
Absolutely.
New today about this disease. You know, I did. For years, I've always tried to, I think of myself as an alchemist kind of chef anyway, so I've always tried to think of sort of, okay, if I have a massive breakout, then, you know, I probably need to make sure I'm eating enough non-fat yogurt and lots of leafy greens and not too much acidity, I guess. But there's certain things that I think that are helping me, and maybe they do. I'm somebody who definitely does eat carbohydrates, but I kind of watch that, especially with all the running, and you know, just not heavy food stuff. And then I also like,
well, you mentioned some things right there. Yogurt, again, naturally fermented. You're powering up a healthy gut microbiome. Leafy greens, and folks, we talk about, you know, carbohydrates, but hey, fruit and veg are carbohydrates, and the leafy greens again are going to have the fiber. So, you know, I don't know that.
Pomegranate.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff, and you know, I don't know. Folks often want to sort of just take a pill, and we want to take our probiotics. But even if you're taking probiotics, you got to feed the little sea monkeys and things that you just mentioned, like the leafy greens. Those are what keep the gut microbiome really healthy. So those practices that you have and those things that you're sharing, again, Elizabeth, you're spot on.
Mm. Well, and I was going to say, I also, because, you know, I tried different ointments early on, but then I would use all kinds of lotions and over-the-counter creams and stuff to try to find something to give some relief to this, you know, it's this kind of ongoing, scaly, burning, scratchy, irritating, it's frustrating. It's the most frustrating disease because, you know, you can't really figure out what it is. And then I have tried, like, some lotions recently with sea buckthorn. I've kind of discovered that relatively recently. It's a super fruit that grows up in, I discovered it in Canada, actually, in Ontario, and then I know it grows also in Scandinavia and in the Himalayas, and it's kind of it's a really delicious little fruit. Hard to get the fruit itself in the United States for some reason. Sometimes you can find it dehydrated, but it's not really pleasant that way. but it's really tasty. But then they're using it a lot in cosmetics, and so it does have a lot of antioxidants and A, C, and E vitamins, I think. And but if you can find some of that stuff, I mean, I think if I could drink that juice all the time, that'd probably be helpful. But I've found that that's a really kind of relieving ingredient I found some lotion in Maine that has some in it, and that seems to, it just feels really good.
Have you ever seen the sea buckthorn in a recipe, or have you cooked with it at all?
Interested. No, I got some frozen stuff one time, and yes, I've used it. I've seen it in like with oysters in a sea buckthorn mignonette. I've seen it on a few menus. Wow. It's starting to get more popular in the chef world. But I was going to say, it kind of tastes like a goji berry met a Cape gooseberry or something like that. very specific fruits, but goji berries are good too. I like them rehydrated and tossed into, whether it's like muffins or pasta or, yeah, honestly, anything. They're really delicious. I love it with farro.
Oh, yeah. Nice combo.
Yeah, and what else was I going to say? Oh, I found this other oil called neem oil at like my health food store around the corner, and that, it's kind of a nice, it's actually, I think it's made up in upstate New York, but it's actually called neem oil. There's neem oil. I don't know exactly what that tree is, but then it has a little bit of rose and sandalwood in it. And basil oil, I think, and it even says on the back that it's good for some of these different skin diseases, and eczema being one of them. And this is, you know, this isn't just eczema; this is a little more extreme than that. But that does have some relief in it too. I like that stuff.
And could you spell that for the folks if they're trying to look it up or see if somebody carries it for them?
N-E-E-M, and it's just an oil that I found. That's really all I know about it. But yeah, I think it's just different. I think if you see your doctor and sort of, you know, because sometimes something will help relieve it, but then it just doesn't really ever go away. But I think what we're learning is that, you know, some kind of diligent work around working with your dermatologist to figure out what works for your system is the best idea.
I think you hit a couple key points, which is, hey, if you're concerned about this, if you think this might be something, you know, definitely get to your physician, get to a good dermatologist, listen to their advice. Sometimes, you know, it's about, you know, putting out the fire first. If somebody has an acute exacerbation, you may have to use something like a steroid cream, you know, just to address that particular issue, work with them. But there's stuff that you pointed out during this program that folks can do on their own, that you can take charge of this. You don't have to just sit back and get shots and creams and so on and so forth. So, you know, if you can kind of just summarize real quick for our folks, one, kind of what have you done to take charge? I think you mentioned, you know, diet, exercise, etc. And then where folks can find more information and your story.
Yes, you know, I definitely have that sort of type A kind of personality, being a chef and all. But I just think it's really sad that this disease is so painful and can be, you know, if you have it on your face or, you know, visible. Like when I had it on my hands, it's embarrassing. So it's like you feel like, you know, you want to explain to people that it's not contagious and it's okay, I'm fine. I kind of just basically bulldoze through having it, and sort of I'd be so scratchy, itchy during my own staff meetings, and I've certainly even had it, you know, during television shows, and just try to almost like just breathe through it or something like that, and that's not easy to do for everybody. But first of all, nobody's really alone, and I think, you know, the more you hear about my story or other stories, and how, you know, trying to work through some of the, you know, the breakouts and just don't let it take over your life. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You know, we are strong. We just need to understand I think we've just been treating it as a skin disease. And the truth is it's more than skin deep. You know, it's coming from the inside. So we need to learn about that a little bit more. So you can read I'm sorry, I've shared my story on understandad.com, and then there's just a lot of really great information for people out there.
Well, that's fabulous. And Elizabeth, I want to thank you, one, for coming forward and sharing your story to help folks like this that have AD. And again, you know, what's important with this and so many other diseases that have at their root cause chronic continuous inflammation. I've wrote about that extensively, the medical and dietary interactions in my last book, Fallacy of the Calorie. Folks, you can get out to understandad.com and get the information there. Elizabeth, thanks so much for sharing today. I totally enjoyed having you on the program. And now I've learned a lot about C. Buckthorn too. I want to thank you for that. And hey,
so
folks,
much.
You, my pleasure, my pleasure. And folks, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.